land is mine. Oh, yes, it's mine.
Hallelujah.
And with my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, nevermore to roam.
Hallelujah.
I was humbly kneeling at the cross, fearing not the God's angry frown. When the heavens opened and I saw that my name was written down, and there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white robed angels sing the story, saved by grace. Oh, the door that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made whole. And there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white robe sinner has come home, and there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And with my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, nevermore to roam. In the book 'tis written, saved by grace, oh, the door that my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by his blood I am made whole. And there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home.
Of God. Father, anoint the holy book this morning. My heart's burden is always to preach this word and to affect somebody's life for the kingdom, Lord. I pray for that this morning. Make yourself mighty. Make yourself real. Make yourself dynamic among us, Lord. Do something for somebody's life that only the sweet Holy Spirit can do. Do something for someone that they'll never be the same. That's my burden, Lord. That's my burden, Lord. The book of St. Mark this morning, chapter 16. The book of St. Mark, chapter 16. Probably one of the most hated portions of Scripture in the church world. The liberal church world absolutely denies that Mark 16, beginning with verse 14, should be in the Bible. They say it is not in the original, but it is in the original. They give all kinds of reasons not to believe it, but there are just as many or more reasons to believe it. So we'll read it together, and I want to preach this morning on He Came to Set the Captive Free. He came to set the captive free. What a statement. Jesus came to set the captive free. No ifs, no ands. The Lord Jesus came for a specific reason. He made it very plain. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Again, he said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The one thing that he read that almost got him destroyed and killed, and would have had it not been for the protection of the Lord, is the great text where he said, I came to set the captive free. I came to set the captive free. Actually, it was quoted the Bible from the Old Testament. So let me read you together. The book of St. Mark, chapter 16, verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. And listen. And upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Talking to his disciples now. He upbraided them with his unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had sent him after, or seen him after he was risen. Because they believed not them that had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Amen. What a text. Jesus said it, not Brother Chambers. And the Bible said very plainly, that if we believe, we would cast out devils, we would speak with new tongues, we would take up serpents, handle the old devil and all that he represents, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And great signs began to follow that early church. Hallelujah. They went forth, and signs following them that believed. Jesus came to set the captive free. Now, before I let you be seated, I want to make sure you understand the word captive. There are many forms of captivity. There are many forms of bondage. The church world is probably as guilty of being under captivity as most of the unchurched world. Because the church world is full of people who are captives. They're captives to false ideas, captives to false teachings, captive to Pharisaical ideas, captive to all kinds of hindrances in their spiritual walk, captive to habits and things that they have no need of and no use for. And of course, the world is captive to every form of destruction you can name, from drugs and alcohol to demons and immorality and dark teachings of fornication and sodomy, and all the way down the line. The world we live in is a captive world. You just can't look. You can't talk. You can't even think. You can't deal with people without finding out very quickly how many of them are bound. How many of them are in captivity? How many of them have ideas that have mastered them, and you can't get them past those ideas? How many are restricted in their walk with Christ because they're so bound by things that are nothing but imaginations, nothing but crazy dreams, nothing but wild thinking? And God is looking for the people Listen to me now. God's looking for people who are free of all of that. And I have complete liberty just to walk with God. You can be so liberated. You can be so free. You can be so absolutely under the discipline of the Holy Ghost. You can be so completely committed to the Lord Jesus Christ that nothing has you bound. That nothing has you doubtful. That nothing has you fearful. Perfect love casteth out fear, the Bible says. We live in a world full of captivity. We live in a church age full of all kinds of captivity. And God is saying he wants to set us free. If I have any message this morning, he wants to make every one of you as free of all your fears and all your worries and all your complaints and all your criticisms and all of your doubts and all of your busyness and worldly things. He wants to make you free of all of that, and he wants to set you free to serve him only and with all of your heart. Anybody believe that? Raise your hand up high now. He wants to make you free. He wants to set you free of all captivity. Don't tell me that many of you are not bound with things. I can watch you and tell. I can often see good people come to church and there's no worship and there's no praise and there's no hallelujah and there's no happiness because something has got them all bound up, all hindered. Many people are not at church this morning because they're sick. There are many people who are not at church because they're so undisciplined, they can hardly get ready on Sunday morning to come to the house of God. I think of all the different forms of captivity, and I wish I had time to name every one of them. But you probably wouldn't hear it if I did. I'm telling you, the church world is in captivity. We're praying and we're fasting and we're seeking God like I've never prayed in my life. And yet I find that our services are sometimes so bound by some doubter or some critic or something they don't like or something they're disturbed about or something that's bothering them until having church is not always easy. And the problem is captivity. People captive to different things. If you've had a negative thought since you walked in this church this morning, I want you to know it came from the devil. It didn't come from the Holy Ghost. If you've had any doubtful feeling, any disturbance feeling, any feeling of just bother with Brother Chambers or with church or with your church in general, you got to understand the Lord didn't give you that. It had to come from the enemy. And God wants you to come to church free of all captivity. That's why the Bible says, enter his courts with thanksgiving and his house with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Because he wants you to come to church free of captivities. Free of doubtful things. Free of critic things. Free of anything that hinders you. And I'm preaching this morning, Jesus came to set you free. You may be seated. Not bad preaching, huh? Not bad preaching, huh? I'm telling you what the Holy Ghost is saying to us this morning. We've got to get free. There are enough devils to hinder the church everywhere you go, and we've got to get free. We got to get all this mess out of our heads, out of our minds, and come to the house of God ready to worship. Ready to worship God, ready to praise God, ready to be full of the Holy Ghost, ready to let God have his way. Woo! Somebody say hallelujah for me. Raise your hand if you agree you want to be free when you come to God's house. You want to come to God's house with a liberty in your heart to worship. You want to come to God's house with a freedom to praise God. You want to come to God's house with a joy in the Holy Ghost so that you can praise him and love him and magnify him and lift him up high. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. God is great and God is good. Now, there's one power. One power. Have I got your attention? One power that can set any man and woman free of captivity. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, when he read that great text, I'll read in a few minutes, the Lord willing, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me, hallelujah, to set the captive free. I'm here to tell you, the Holy Spirit is that great power of victory. The Holy Spirit is that great power of triumph. The Holy Spirit is that great power of deliverance, that great power of joy and holiness and peace and might. The Holy Ghost is that great power. The Holy Ghost is that great power. And he come to set us free. He represents the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, the great and wonderful Savior. Now, this text in Mark is such a remarkable text. I love it. I never get over how the world has fought against that text with such fury. How they have been so determined to make people doubt this wonderful text of Scripture. But I'm telling you, church, it's as real as I stand in this pulpit. He came to set the captive free. He came to anoint us to be the source of setting the captive free. It is the church that goes out in the power of the Holy Spirit and cast out devils. No devil has the right to have freedom in the presence of Holy Ghost filled people. I'm here to tell you. Now, the person who's got the devil can't be delivered if they want to keep their devil. If you love your devil, and you love what he's doing in you, and you love the bondage you've got, and you love the immorality of your conduct, you love the way you live your life because of that spirit, then I have no hope for you. I can't change you. Yes, I can cast out that devil, but you've got to be willing for that devil to be cast out. In fact, you've got to want him gone. And you've got to want freedom in Christ. You've got to want freedom in the sweet work of the Holy Spirit. You got to want freedom in the blessings and the favor of the Lord. And this morning, I come to tell you, he came to set the captive free. He came to give you total liberty in your Christian life. He came to free you of every encumbrance, every imagination, every doubtful emotion, every doubtful feeling, every critical feeling, everything that hinders you. He came to set you free. He wants his church so free that the Holy Ghost can just breathe among us with beauty and liberty. If you agree, raise your hand up high with me and just call on his name. Would you just call on his name in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, by the mighty power of the Lord. And let's go to that text in the book of Luke, chapter 4, where Jesus first mentioned this captivity and the purpose of his coming. This is the book of Luke, chapter 4. It begins with verse 18. Notice what he says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. I like that. To bind up, to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive. Deliverance to the captive. And the recovering of sight to the blind. And to set at liberty them that are bruised. Did you know? Everything named in that text is what Jesus came to do. He came to set the captive free. He came to heal the brokenhearted. There's a lot of brokenhearted people in our world, but Jesus came to heal every one of them. There's not a one of them that Jesus didn't come to heal. You don't have to be brokenhearted the rest of your days. The thing that broke your heart may ever remain with you, but your healed heart doesn't have to stay there. You can be healed. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He came to heal the brokenhearted and to set at liberty them that are bruised. You know, when you are a Christian, and you've been serving God a long time as I have, you have seen so many hurting people. You have seen so many bruised lives. You've seen so many people who have been so wounded. I remember Brother Marlon's father and Sister Dolores' father, same man, of course. But sometime in his youth, he had gotten saved. And they don't mind, I don't think, me telling this, because it's not some kind of secret thing. And it had bruised him. You remember? It had bruised him. I remember trying to help him overcome that bruise and that wound. He never got free of it, because something had bruised him way back there. And I wonder how many people are sitting in this church this morning who somewhere in your life, some negative talk, some old critic, somebody that just poured their junk into your mind and on your head, or maybe hurt you, or maybe wounded you, and you've been bruised a long time. Well, Jesus came to heal that bruise. I'm here to tell you, you turn that thing over to God, and he'll make you as well and as healed as if it had never happened. He'll fill you with forgiveness and purity. There is nothing that can hold you in captivity when you turn loose to Christ to set you free. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. He wants to set you free this morning. He wants to set you free this morning. He wants to set you free. He is the freedom savior. He is the freedom deliverer. I love that text. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. Now, let me tell you something. This statement that Jesus made in this text is so remarkable and so prophetic and so powerful that the people in that city of Nazareth tried to kill him on the basis of this scripture that he read. On the very basis of this scripture that he read in that synagogue at Nazareth, they sought to cast him over the hill right nearby and kill him. But God, by his grace, enabled him to escape among their midst. They couldn't even see his escape. It was so beautiful. So God set him free. God set him free. So I'm telling you, Jesus came to set you free. Just like God took care of him, set him free from their anger, he came to set you free. He came to give you a liberty in the Lord, that your life will become so free and so full of grace and so full of mercy. You'll become so disciplined and so guided in your walk with God. Every day will be peaceable. Your prayer will become dynamic. God wants you free. God wants this church free. He wants every person in this church free. Free of every hindrance, of every encumbrance, of every problem, of every worryment, of everything that bothers you. He wants us free. I said he wants you free. He wants you free. He wants you to have liberty in the Holy Ghost. I look at people who are so undisciplined today. I mean, they're just undisciplined. And you say, what's wrong? They've never got freedom from their own person. They've never got freedom from their own inability to discipline themselves. We live in a world of undisciplined people who do what they please. Well, they don't do always what they please. They do what their undisciplined demeanor demands that they do. It's an undisciplined world. It's a disturbed world. The church world has an often a disturbed atmosphere. The Holy Ghost can do little when there's not oneness and unity among us. On the day of Pentecost, they had Pentecost because they were in one mind and one accord. They had prayed. All their complaining was gone. All their jealousy over each other was gone. And all of their desire to be the head of the crowd was gone. Until there was no haughtiness. There was no complaining. There was no finding fault with each other. And the liberty brought a visitation of the Holy Ghost. Now God's going to visit this place. I don't have any doubt about it. But what must he do to get us ready? How does he get us so free of our captivities? How does he get us so free of our feelings and our emotions? And I'm telling you, a critical spirit is a dangerous thing. A critical spirit is a destructive thing. A critical spirit will bring you to a piece of bread. It'll make you of no benefit to God's kingdom and God's church And you watch your life as you live in criticism, and you watch how helpless it is. You watch that nothing you strive to do has any lasting value. And you watch that you yourself are in need of deliverance. And then you run to Jesus and say, Lord, set me free of everything, because I'm ready for God to use me. I'm ready for God to make me a blessing. I'm ready to be full of Holy Ghost fire and Holy Ghost power and Holy Ghost life. So, Jesus made it plain. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to set at liberty those that were bruised. He came to set the captive free. He came to work miracles of beauty and power. And he will do it in your life with joy, because he loves you and cares about you. You are important to him. You are important to him. Now, I want to look at something that is so important and powerful. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I want to show you the source of all captivity. It don't matter what you're captive to. You may be captive to making money. You may be a captive to you know, having great amounts of earthly wealth. I don't think anybody here has that problem, but if you do, God is dealing with you. It can be so many different things that would bring you under bondage to this old Adamic nature. Let me say plainly to you now. The flesh, your flesh is rooted in your Adamic nature. Your flesh. Any expressions of your flesh that come out of you come from the Adamic nature. They come by means of the Adamic nature. The reason, Brother Danny, there's such a desperate need for sanctification in the church world today is because the flesh needs to be crucified. The flesh needs to be put silent and put to death and put out of control and out of commission. And until he is, our flesh will profit us nothing. Our flesh will accomplish nothing for God and his church and his kingdom. We've got to be sanctified. We've got to be set free of that old nature of Adam. So let's read a little bit in Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, beautiful scripture. Everybody ought to live in Romans 8 occasionally. So let's see what he says to us together. Let's start with verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, let's stop right there. Are you listening to me? Everybody listening, let me see your hand. I'm preaching to you this morning. I'm loving you with a pastoral love. I'm preaching to you what a pastor would preach to his congregation. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. See, when you are living in your flesh, you're bound by it. And it'll rule you. But you're living in the Spirit, you're bound by it. It'll rule you. They that are bound by the flesh become become captive to the flesh. I'm talking about captivity now. I'm talking about him coming to set you free of captivity. And I'm telling you that your flesh will take you captive. Your flesh will hold you in bondage. Your flesh will hold you under its old fettering power. Your flesh will fill you with every doubtful emotion you can imagine, every doubtful feeling you can imagine. That flesh will consume you and eat you up. Your flesh is dangerous. My flesh is dangerous. It really is. But when I get free of the flesh and become committed to the Spirit, then I have freedom in the Holy Ghost. And see, I'm talking about captivity. I'm talking about people who are so captive to their flesh that you cannot get through to their spirit. You can't get through to the higher part of their life. You can't get through to that place. And no wonder we have such a hard time winning people to Christ today, because our world is bound by the flesh. If you were not bound by the flesh in your sins, you would come running to Christ the moment you heard the message of Christ. But the bondage of the flesh is a fettering, horrible power. If your flesh is ruling you, don't tell me you're not miserable. I know good and well you are miserable. If you're ruled by your flesh, you're not happy. You don't have any Holy Ghost joy. You see something wrong with everything. And there's always something troubling you and filling you with a growl and a complaint. And your flesh is the master. And you need to be delivered from your flesh. Woo! Hallelujah! I can shout if you can't. I know I preached the truth to you. Let me read a little more to you. For to be carnally minded is death. Well, you know what carnal mind is. It's not hard to figure out what a carnal mind is. It's a mind that listens and thinks fleshly things, that talks fleshly talk. It's a mind bound by the flesh. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Woo! Somebody raise a hand and shout hallelujah with me. Listen to me, visitors. I'm here to tell you, if you want a life of happiness and joy in the Holy Ghost, you want a life of happiness and peace in the Lord, you get free of that old carnal man. You get free of that control of maybe habits of tobacco, or maybe it's the language you talk, or maybe it's people you hang around, or maybe it's worldly things you go to. Whatever it is, it just may be your own flesh and attitude. You get free of that and become spiritually minded, and there's joy and peace and happiness. I wish somebody would raise both hands and shout hallelujah. I do wish you would. Oh, hallelujah. Had to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I'm talking about captivity. We live in a world that's so captive to their flesh. So captive to their attitudes and their talk and their lifestyle and the things they're dedicated to. You can't get your children to church to serve God because they fell in love with the world and fell in love with pleasure. They'd rather be somewhere, in some pleasure concave than to be in the middle of the house of God where Jesus is real. Jesus will set you free. Anybody here want to be free? Anybody here want to be free? Do you really want to be free? Do you really want to have a life in Christ that is so full of freedom and full of joy? I can read on and on in this text of Romans 8. And it's all about the distinction between the captivity of the flesh and the captivity of the spirit. Let me read a little more. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now listen. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Anything carnal coming out of you is enmity against God. You understand that? Anything carnal, anything about your conduct that is a control of the carnal life, anything that moves and is the master of you, that's carnal and of the world, has got you in bondage. You're in captivity. You're under the control. You're under the control of that old spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So then, how many of you will quote that with me? Maybe you don't know it good enough to quote it, but let me help you. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If your flesh rules your life, you can't please God. If your flesh has got control of you, you can't please God. If your flesh is the master of you, you can't please God. But Jesus came to set you free. I said Jesus came to set you free. Let me read another verse or two. But we are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in us. Now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If any man have not the spirit of Christ, he's none of his. But let's go to verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. You talk about a quickening from heaven. You talk about a quickening of the Holy Ghost. You talk about a quickening of everlasting resurrection life. You talk about a quickening of the resurrected power of Jesus Christ flowing right down from God and flowing right through you and baptizing you with life. That's what he's promising if you are free by the Spirit of Christ. I want to be free. Raise your hand if you want to be free. Raise your hand if you want to be free. Raise it high if you want it to be free. If you want to live in your stupor and you want to live in your complaining, I can't stop you. But I tell you one thing. Jesus will set you free if you let him. He'll set you free if you let him. He'll set you free if you let him. He came to set you free. He came to give you liberty in the Holy Ghost. He came to give you a joy of praising and magnifying and blessing God. He came to make you a powerhouse. There's not a one of you in this building that God didn't come to make a powerhouse out of you. He came to give you glory and spiritual life and spiritual power. And it's up to you. Do you want it? Do you want that life, that spiritual life, that power? That anointing, oh church, listen to me. I'm preaching to you the truth this morning, and Jesus wants to set you free. He does. Let me take you to a passage so I can warn you. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Great passage of scripture. A great warning. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. God's word says it, not me. Chapter 5, verse 8. Listen now. Be sober. Be sober. Get rid of that old drunken spirit that you have, that you're in bondage to. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil is after devouring you. The devil is after making mincemeat out of you. The devil is after destroying every one of you. Listen to me, Sister Carmen, your divine, your precious children. Listen to me, the visitors with Brother Carlos and Sister Norma. Listen to me. The devil is after keeping you in bondage to sin. He's after taking you down the pathway of negativity and darkness and worldliness and carnal living. He's after keeping you away from the house of God, away from a place where the glorious gospel is proclaimed. He'll even be welcome. I invite you to go to church as long as it's a dead church and there's no preaching of the old-fashioned word of God and there's no moving of the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you the devil as a roaring lion goeth about seeking whom he may devour. I get amazed sometimes when I see how good people become under the influence of a negativity and a darkness that comes from the enemy. We have got to get rid of that mess. It's got to go. This is the house of God. This church is on its road to Holy Ghost revival. And I'm here to tell you, there's nothing that's going to stop us. Here's one man that's going to stay in this altar and wait on God until every barrier is broken, until every hindrance is removed, until every force of wickedness is discarded and defeated. I am not going to quit until the victory comes. How many can say, I'm with you, Brother Chambers? Raise your hand way up high. Come on high. I'm with you, Brother Chambers. I'm going to stay on my altar. I'm going to stay before God until every barrier is broken and every old enemy is defeated. I'm going to see the glory and the power of God. Woo! Enemy, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Now, let me close with one other scripture. I won't go read it. I'm just going to tell it to you. A woman bound by the devil. He was bent over just like this and could not raise herself up. And she'd been in that shape 18 years. This is in the 13th chapter of Luke. And Jesus saw her. She didn't come to Jesus. Jesus went to her. I like that. I didn't go to Jesus. He came to me. I wasn't looking for him when I got saved. He was looking for me. Oh, you say, no, it was me. No, it wasn't you. He'd been looking for you a long time before he finally, you gave yourself to him. But listen to me. Jesus saw her. And Jesus spoke to her and said, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And she stood up straight. Look at me. Can you see it? Get a picture of her. She's bound over. Her face is down at least on the level of her waistline. Maybe even lower. And suddenly Jesus sees her. And says, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Help me, church. God's Holy Ghost is near us this morning. We're not here alone. God gave us this word, this message, and I don't know who it was for. I'm not the one to decide that, but you decide, and you make up your mind, I'm going to be free. I'm going to be set free of my captivity. I'm going to have a new peace in the Lord. I'm going to have a new joy in the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to be a blessing to my church, and I'm going to be bringing somebody with me to church, just like Sister Norma did this morning, or Sister Marin did a week ago. I want to tell you something. Church, God's called us to be soul winners. God's called us to be a blessing, and we can only be a blessing when we have been delivered of all our captivities. And this morning, would you stand with me, please? Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Sister Angel, for playing for me. Thank you, Brother Joseph, for singing for me. Hallelujah. I want something about freedom. I want something about deliverance. Hallelujah. Something to tell us that Jesus has come to set us free. Jesus has come to set us free. Are you listening to me? Jesus has come to set us free. We're not bound any longer unless you want to be bound. You don't have to live in bondage. You can live in liberty and freedom if you want to live in liberty and freedom. How many... You want freedom in your life. How many want liberty to please God in everything you are? Raise your hand way up high with me, would you? In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. He's looking. He knows your need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a great God. He's a great Redeemer. He's a great Savior. Hallelujah. And He's come to set you free. He's come to set you free. Praise the Lord, dear lady, for saving you this week, right? He saved you this week. Am I right? You gave your life back to the Lord. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And if you are bound, you don't have to be bound any longer. Jesus came to set the captive free. Say those words with me, would you? Jesus came to set the captive free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Sing it for me, Brother Joe.
I'm free from the fear
of tomorrow. I'm free
from the guilt of
the past,
my past. I traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last.
Oh, glorious.
I couldn't love Him more than I did right at the start. But now I look back over the mountains and the valleys where I've been, and it makes me know I love Him so much more than I did then. And I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. It gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. Just keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. And there's a hand that I hold on to, fallen in.